The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Well, a big day in the world of the NBA. The NBA draft is tonight. Pelicans, right now, with a pick, maybe more. We'll go over those reports, of course, and get you ready. Very special Sports Hangover Edition. Call it the NBA Draft Special Edition. Member of the Pelicans Radio Network, Mr. Daniel Salerson, in the beautiful red Pelicans polo. What was it, pullover there?
Yeah, pullover. Yeah, it's getting that kind of weather right now.
I'm surprised Jordan hasn't hit you up for it just yet.
He already has.
I figured that's exactly what took place there. We're live over at NOLA Chill, 6045 Magazine Street's Wellness Center. We got a ton to give you in terms of information, not only on the draft, but also this incredible place. Kind of just took a quick tour of it, Daniel, you and I did, and 45 here in the month of January. Yeah. I'm just saying maybe paying a little visit here.
I'm about to spend a lot of time here, I think. That's for sure.
Exactly.
After going through that tour,
for sure. So let me give you a quick lineup of what's coming up here on the show. We got plenty. Stan Van Gundy, new head coach of your New Orleans Pelicans, Daniel, is going to join us here in the next segment here at 12:15. So we'll obviously talk to him about getting this team ready, because yesterday Shams came out, and we know the dates now of when players can start showing up to the facility and have quote-unquote official individual workouts with coaches, and then team practices and group practices, which is basically the first week of December. So that is not a long time, considering Thanksgiving is next week and it's the last week of November. So right after that, boom, the facility over there on Airline Highway is going
to
be busy.
Got to give them a chance to get tested, everyone get tested, to kind of ease them in. And then once everyone's tested, ready to go, that's when you can start really getting into training camp. So it's going to be fluid with every team going through this, with restrictions in certain cities and states and traveling, making sure everyone gets back to the facility ready to go. And then you get going. There's really no time to settle in. It's game time, as preseason games will start probably the second week of December.
It's incredible, too, when you think of just the amount of time. It hasn't been that long since the NBA championship was held and the bubble and all of that stuff. So we'll talk about all the differences of how the season can start and maybe will start. And we know something that's already different. The schedule release is going to be in two parts.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. They'll do the first 36 games, and then there's supposed to be a break in March, the all-star break without an all-star game this year. And then during the first half of the season, they'll start to release the second half. And I think that the good side about that is it gives a little bit of flexibility. You've seen it in the NFL, especially in college football, all the cancellations due to COVID. So if that's the case, you have more flexibility on the back end, and then you're not moving back the season anymore, because there is a reason why the season is starting on December 22nd and ending when it is for the Olympics, and also get back to a regular schedule in 21-22.
That's true. You've got to go do this Olympics that was supposed to be done this summer.
Exactly.
And the whole COVID thing. Anyway, so we'll get into that here as well. Andrew Lopez will join us at 12:30. We'll talk about a lot of those reports that are out there. So many teams may be making trades, including the Pelicans, Daniel, because of NBA rules. We can only kind of talk about it so much to an extent with Coach Van Gundy and you yourself, of course. So it's not like we're ignoring it. We all know those reports. You know what you're talking about. But at the same time, until it's quote-unquote official, because it's just like anything else, and we've known this, what was it, in the NFL you have the legal tampering, which is where you can do it, but until pen and paper and in trades happen. So when you watch the draft today, those reports that have been out there when it comes to certain Pelicans players, then yes, of course, you might see another team's name on it, but yes, and you don't know if that's one move that leads to another. So there is a lot of interest in this draft, because you and I talked before the show, we both don't know, really, where this team can sort of go tonight with David Griffin.
This is basically, I feel like, it's going to be free agency tonight because of the cap staying the same. A lot of the moves that teams are going to make tonight are probably going to be the moves that they make. You know, free agency, there's not a lot of, you know, big names out there. There are going to be teams that can be able to utilize some of those big names that are out there for big money. But tonight you're going to see a lot of wheeling and dealing. The Knicks and Nets already made a trade this morning. The Knicks getting a second first-round pick. They're trying to move up with those two picks. You're going to see teams move back. You're going to see teams try to jump all the way into the top three. I mean, that's the craziness about this draft is we know who the top three players are, at least a lot of people say, with LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman, and Anthony Edwards. But will they go in that order? Will they stay in the top three? Because someone might come in and snatch someone else through three.
Yeah.
So there could be guys falling back. It's going to be a crazy night, I think. And I think we're going to, even throughout the show, there might be some more trades.
I also get the sense as well, Daniel, that this is a draft where if that team values that player, then they're good enough. In other words, you know, there's a lot of reports out there that Boston really likes Okonwu from USC. There's a lot of Pels fans that like him as well. But, you know, that means you got to get up in that top five, top three. The Celtics reportedly, per Mark Stein, trying to make their way up there. So, again, I think it's more of a targeted draft would probably be the best phrase I have. Yep. If you target a player you think is good for you, that's what you're going to see tonight. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and Okonwu, unfortunately, has come out, said he has a foot injury. And so now people are talking about, do you take the risk? They don't know how severe. So you have a lot of teams scrambling to get the medicals on him, wondering if it's going to be, you know, a long-term kind of foot injury.
Right.
Or something that, yeah, he may miss part of his rookie season. But those are some of the things that get you worried, and it also affects him as his draft stock. So
yeah,
if someone takes the risk on him early, it could be a big risk, but he may fall back to a team that thought they wouldn't be able to get him that could steal in there in the mid-teens and work out getting a pretty good pick.
We'll hear from Antonio Daniels as well this hour as well. Fox Sports New Orleans color analyst, about his thoughts on Stan Van Gundy and the rest of their team. You had a chance to speak with him.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday. He had a lot of good things to say. He obviously played against a lot of Stan Van Gundy teams, talks about the defense and, you know, stuff that we heard from Stan Van Gundy from everyone we've talked to about how well prepared he is, you know, player development, things like that. So Antonio will kind of give us an in-depth detail on what that could be, especially for the main pieces, which is Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram.
In hour number two, Jackson Hayes will join the conversation. Again, he and Nikhil Alexander-Walker were part of the three first-round draft picks a year ago. We'll hear from Nau coming up at 2:15, Jackson Hayes at 1:15. Will Guillory from The Athletic will join us at 1:30. Christian Clark from the Picayune and Advocate at 2:30. Joel Myers. Okay, have you tried?
No,
practicing?
Not even close.
No?
Not even going to worry about it. If I can steal his voice, that would be the one I steal.
I say this all the time. It's one of those things where basically you could ask Joel anything, right? Hey, how would you park a car? Well, Gus, I'll tell you exactly what you do. You back it up, you look both ways. And, like, it would just sound so much more professional, right? Literally, how to park a car.
I've been dying him to record my voicemail for me and pretend to say, this is Daniel Sallers.
But, no, you've reached the office of Daniel
exactly.
Sallers. See, that would sound a little more.
I haven't been able to pull that off yet. Maybe we can ask him there.
We will also take a course over the next 3 hours. Anything that pops up, we'll let you know. And, yes, I know it's still Saints-Falcon hate week, which this week just seems so different, right, Daniel? I mean, obviously the Drew Brees news, which I guess somewhat good news. There is no new news. He went and got second opinion. So the latest tweets out there is that, you know, again, maybe Walt, they're coming in here for some cryotherapy to fix some cracked ribs, because I still see 2 to 3 weeks. If he plays in 2 to 3 weeks, my level of toughness is nowhere near Drew Brees. But again, the good news is there's no new news, where there was a little concern he may have more than 5 cracked ribs, and right now it doesn't look like that is.
The fact that he played those 2 drives
incredible.
With all that, I mean, yeah. I have a broken, you know, pinky nail or
absolutely.
Something like that, and I'm out for 3 weeks.
You know, I say this all the time, literally, paper cuts. Paper cuts are basically, to me, they're 7 to 10 days.
Take the day off.
And it's always where it shouldn't be for some reason. You know, whatever you're doing at that second, you really wish you didn't have that paper cut. Anyway, I don't know if cryotherapy can help with that, Walt, but thanks for having us here from NOLA Chill Wellness Center, 6045 Magazine Street. It's right across from Perlis. So for people where you know where Magazine is, that part of town, right across from Perlis over there, right close to Audubon Park and the zoo, which obviously I bring my little three-year-old, but I've heard a lot about NOLA Chill. You gave us a little bit of a tour. Goodness, you got a lot of different things you can do here.
Yeah, we have a bunch of different options, which is kind of the idea we had going in, was having all these different services so there'd be something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So some people like the whole body chamber, and some people don't like the cold, so then we have the sauna for that. And so having all these different services that all kind of interchange and go together well seems to be working so far. I don't know if it would help with paper cut like you were mentioning,
exactly.
But I mean, it definitely should help with pain relief, really. We have a wide assortment. We had this girl come in with a sprained ankle, and she was in her senior season playing volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she came in on crutches, and within a week or so, the bruising had gone down so much, she was walking around, got to go back and play in the state tournament for volleyball. And so you're seeing these people like come in and being able to help these people with injuries. It's just really awesome to see, honestly.
What's incredible is, Daniel, we've always heard of cryotherapy or cryo chambers, all these different – I know athletes try to find different ways than the normal just wrap it up or walk it off and stuff,
exactly.
Right? The NBA players do that. But what's different here, and I'm glad you gave us a little tour, we've heard of a cryo chamber. And normally I think of the ones where you kind of stand out, it almost looks like a popsicle, your head is out of the chamber and everything. This one looks nothing like it. It almost looks like a gigantic ice house thing, right?
Like a freezer.
Yeah, a giant freezer, and there's two sides to it. Why are there two sides to your chamber?
So it lets you get acclimated to the cold, but the main reason for the two chambers is it's trying to keep as much cold air in that main chamber that you're in for 3 minutes. So each time when someone's going in and walking in the chamber, there's cold air coming out, and then there's the humidity and heat from the room getting in. And so having that side chamber just allows us to keep that main one as cold as possible and prevent as much air from getting out, and keeping it as cold at 10 a.m. as it is at 7 p.m.
What's incredible, too, is you told us the different levels of cold that it gets there. Did you say minus 105?
Yeah, minus 105. I can check right now. It might be a little colder. It varies throughout the day.
I was cold this morning taking my daughter to daycare, and it was like 60 degrees out.
All right, so what does minus 105 do?
A lot. So the main thing is inflammation that it's targeting. And so it's not actually while you're in the chamber. It's what you're doing is trying to trick the body to go into fight or flight mode, and then afterwards you get out and you'll feel this like sensation. The mm-hmm. first time I did it, I wanted to go on a 5 mile run, and I don't work out, run,
really?
Or anything. Yeah, like crazy. It's this rush of endorphins, like body, you feel your body heating up and you're like, want to go do something to stay warm. And so you'll feel your body heating up. And I've told people, we had some Newman football players come, and I was telling them after they got out of the chamber, I was like, yeah, so if you have soreness in specific areas, as your body's heating up, you'll kind of feel extra warmth in that. And like, as I say it, they both grab their knees, like my knees. I did that with another person like a week, telling them that story, and they're like, oh, my shoulder. So you'll feel this like extra warmth in the body where you have soreness.
So your body almost naturally does it itself.
Yes.
As opposed to it being targeted.
Yes. So you'll feel it. You'll feel like the whole body thing with our chamber because you're getting fully in there. Mm-hmm. But then with those extra soreness, like in specific areas, you'll feel that warmth and you'll feel it targeting that inflammation.
And look, Newman football players, you talk about, a pair of Saints players have come in.
Yeah. Janoris came in, and Chauncey came in, at the beginning to do the sauna. I think they really like it.
It's good enough for Chauncey. It's good enough for me. Yeah, by the way, I'm serious. I don't know about you, but he can give me any kind of motivational
after last game.
Exactly. because one of the other things that really stood out to me, too, even the gym that I go to, they have a sauna. And when I think of sauna, I think of a very high humidity, you know, sort of environment where you're pouring water, and then, you know, it gets humid in there, and it does get difficult to breathe, just like you take a steam shower sometimes to kind of clear your sinuses out. And eventually, it's harder to breathe liquid air, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yours is completely different.
Yes, and so that's what I really like. The first time I did it, I've done traditional saunas a bunch. Love them, but I'm like 10 minutes, I got to get out. It's hard to breathe, need some water. This one's a lot more breathable. So the first time I did it, I started it not as hot and kind of let it heat up as I was in there. But I ended up staying 45 minutes to an hour, because it was a lot more breathable. So it's not heating the air around you like a traditional sauna. Mm-hmm. It's actually heating the body directly. So it's inside out heat where the first 5-10 minutes you might not sweat, and then it kind of all comes out. And you also have that color guide in there. So it has the 12 different infrared colors, and you can either like go on rainbow mode where it has, and you get all those benefits, or pick a specific one. But I really like it too. So you can bring your phone in ours. We have Bluetooth, so you can like listen to music. We have people listen to podcasts. Sometimes people listen to music way too loud. I think the Saints players cranked it up when they're in there.
Right.
So I got to jam while they're in there too. But it's really cool. So you can stay in a little longer, and you really feel nice afterwards. Great for detoxing. So we have Sundays are very popular for the sauna, but really any day. And people also, we've had a lot that do the sauna, and afterwards we'll let them have like a 5-10 minute break, but then go in the cryo machine after. And just kind of having everything come out and maybe doing like a Normatec or a hydro massage session in between, just to let the body recover for a little. And then getting in that cryo is just a real nice effect on the body.
All right, that's just an introduction to what NoChill has to offer. Next hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about how we can get this face looking a little younger. Even though I don't think I look 44, but you know what? If I can look 34, we're good with that. Man.
Sounds good.
Right, Daniel?
Absolutely.
What do you think, man? There's nothing wrong with that. We're live at NoChill. That was Walt. We'll talk a little bit more about it. 6045 Magazine Street. We'll talk a little bit more about this facility here in a little bit. But when we come back, head coach Stan Van Gundy already on the line, ready to go. We'll talk to the new Pelicans head coach next when we come back on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Good time! Great year-end savings start now. Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Huge discounts, plus year-end incentives make now the best time to upgrade at Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Super year-end deals. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners marked on sale. Plus, get up to $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade. The time is now for super year-end pricing. Check out the inventory online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Hollywood Road in Houma.
NOLA Chill, New Orleans' state-of-the-art cryotherapy and wellness center, is now open. Cryotherapy is leading the nation's industry in recovery, wellness, and weight loss. NOLA Chill is your solution for targeting arthritis, tightening skin, and fighting off wrinkles, and it's a great tool for recovery for athletes and active people pre- or post-competition. Plus, a simple 3-minute cryotherapy session at NOLA Chill targets inflammation and burns between 500 to 800 calories. Find out more cryotherapy benefits and schedule your appointment at NOLAChill.com. NOLA Chill, cryo and chill.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma is so much more than shipping, especially during this holiday season. They offer a wide range of products and services to assist small business owners and individuals. The UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banner shredding, faxing, and more. They're located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
It is NBA draft night, and your new head coach for your New Orleans Pelicans, Stan Van Gundy, joins us. You can always follow him over on Twitter at RealStanVG. Coach Stan Van Gundy, joined here by your former intern, Daniel Salerson here. Coach, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Coach, an exciting night for you since it's the NBA draft?
It's always a great night. You know, I mean, it's everybody's in the building on your entire staff, and it's a chance for new beginnings, you know. So it's exciting from a team standpoint, and it's also exciting to watch all of those young men realize their NBA dream that they had when they were little kids. So I think it's one of the most enjoyable dates on the NBA calendar every year.
Yeah, and Coach, normally this is in June. It's weird having it on November 18th, but also you're going to experience these rookies are going to go through a lot of challenges, ones that some of the rookies haven't gone through in previous years. When you talk about no summer league, basically after they're drafted, it's 2 weeks in training camp. What are some of the challenges they might face when having such a short turnaround when joining their new team?
Well, I mean, you hit on it. They don't have the summer league. They don't have the summer in general to acclimate themselves to a new city, to acclimate themselves to the coaching staff, to begin to get to know their teammates, and to get themselves ready physically with our strength and conditioning staff. Just as you said, they're going to get drafted, and 2 weeks later, they're going to be starting their NBA career with guys who know what this is all about. There's never going to be a harder time to be an NBA rookie than there is right now in November 2020.
Does that go into, I guess, part of the challenges and also the decision-making when you look at a draft like this in terms that you didn't have, obviously, March Madness and things of that nature? How challenging is it to try to even, I guess, isolate and look at maybe players you think that can help you now? Or do you have to look at it, Coach, as players that can help me maybe in the future, not just right now?
Yeah, I don't think you're ever going into a draft drafting for what they can do in the coming season. Obviously, anything they give you is a great bonus. But I think, you know, Griff and Trajan Langdon and their staff, you know, they're looking for the player who has the biggest upside for our organization going forward. That's the, you know, how they will base their decision tonight and how quickly that person can, you know, get up to NBA standards and gain playing time and things just remains to be seen.
We're talking with Pelicans head coach Stan Van Gundy here on the Sports Hangover. Coach, when you talk about having these guys come in such a short amount of time, how important is that for them just to click with their new teammates? You talk about, you know, having J.J. Redick as a veteran on the team that can really help those guys. How important is it for even some of the young guys that have been through this before able to help whoever rookies you acquire tonight kind of ease them into this, I guess, tough situation they're going to be put in?
Well, I think that's one of the advantages we have of being a very high character team. To a man, our guys are really good people and committed professionals. So the people coming in are going to have great examples in front of them, and I think guys that will embrace them and try to help them. And obviously, the more help you can get from your teammates, it certainly expedites the process.
Coach, we know we started seeing some dates with some reports yesterday. Basically, it's the first week of December. Guys can come in for individual workouts. You can start group workouts by the end of that week. Do you have your plan already? And how different is, I guess, this training camp per se than perhaps anything you've done in the past?
Well, it's really different for me taking a new job. You know, normally you get a job in this league in May, and then you're starting camp near the end of September. So you've got 4.5 months usually to really get to study the players and decide what you want to do both offensively and defensively, and then, you know, put your playbook together and plan your training camp and all of that. And, you know, basically what we normally do in 4.5 months, we're having to do in about 4.5 weeks. So it's really different, but it certainly can be done right now. No, we don't have a training camp plan done, but we're meeting every day here as a staff, and we will certainly have it done before camp starts. And I think I have a pretty good idea of how we want to do things. We just haven't pinned down exactly, you know, what we're going to do playbook-wise and system-wise. And part of that will be harder to determine until we know exactly who's on the roster.
And speaking of staff, you know, it was announced the other day that your staff was announced with some new assistant coaches, some that were retained, Fred Vincent and Teresa Weatherspoon. Can you just talk about some of your staff for those that really don't know about who will be joining you this season?
Yeah, look, we got a great mix, first of all. I think we've got a big ex-player contingent. So we have 4 former NBA players. We have 1 former WNBA player with Teresa Weatherspoon. They got 43 years of playing experience at the highest level. The 8 assistant coaches that we hired have 88 years of coaching experience, several of them at the highest level. And we've got guys... we've got 24 years of head coaching experience at the D1 level in college or the G League level. So we've got an experienced staff, and we also wanted a mix of people who were here with the Pelicans, who had institutional knowledge, not only of the players, but of David Griffin and Trajan Langdon and their front office and the culture that they want to develop here. Some people that had previously worked with me, that have a knowledge of me and the way I like to do things and can help the other coaches get up to speed. And then a couple of people come in with totally different and new experiences, which I think leads to new ideas. So that's been tremendous. So, you know, real quickly, Bob Beyer, who I've been with my previous stops in Orlando and Detroit, comes over from Sacramento now, entering his 15th year as an NBA assistant after over 20 years at the Division I level in college. Fred Vincent, as you mentioned, has been retained on the staff and elevated to the bench full-time. He's done great work here for over a decade in New Orleans. We just hired Casey Hill from the Clippers. A lot of you will remember his dad, Bob Hill, who was an outstanding NBA coach, and we think Casey brings a wealth of knowledge, particularly on the offensive end of the floor. Rex Walters, who was a 7-year NBA veteran and a 10-year Division I college head coach, will be with us. Teresa Weatherspoon, a 5-time WNBA All-Star and somebody who was 6 years as a Division I head coach in college, will be with us. Darnell Lazar, also back on the staff here in New Orleans, where he's done great player development work, particularly with big guys in the New Orleans system. I think he's a rising star in the business. We hired Corey Brewer, who just finished his playing career, 13 mm-hmm. years in the NBA after 2 national championships at Florida. He'll do a lot of work with our wing players. and Ben Oudry, who also had a 13-year NBA career and part of last year as a G League assistant, who will be spending a lot of time working with our point guards. So that took a little while to run down that staff as staffs get bigger in the NBA, but we're excited about that group of people.
Coach, I just saw on social media, people love Corey Brewer's decision to come in and coach, and a lot of people love how he played and that kind of energy that he brought to the court. Final question for you, Coach, and it's a two-parter, and it's, I guess, realistically the expectation level of improvement, where I'm so used to on a normal season, Coach, and you are. You see it on social media, the lab videos of players working out over a couple of months and weeks. It hasn't been that long since guys have played, so realistically, individually, and then the team, how much can you work on your game in this time? And do you maybe just look at maybe that first month, month and a half of the season as a continuation of improvement?
Well, I think improvement is something for any team that you want on a daily basis, but particularly for our team, you know, with a lot of guys who are really young, a lot of guys 25 or younger. These guys have hit nowhere near their peak as NBA players. So I don't think there's a time of the year, quite honestly, where you're not focused on improvement, individual improvement and team improvement. You know, I had a junior high phys ed teacher who, when we had to do the president's physical fitness test and run the 6-minute run, you know, none of us knew how to do it. We were 13 years old, and his advice was, you know, you want to go out as fast as you can and gradually increase your speed. And that's about where I want our team to be. We want to be really good on December the 22nd and get better as we go along in the season. So, you know, we're not making any excuses and we're not waiting. We want to be good off the bat and continue to get better. That's my goal going into this season, and I think it will be the goal of our players as well.
I love, I'm sure Pelicans fans love hearing that. Head coach Stan Van Gundy at RealStanVG, the way to follow you over on Twitter. Sir, thank you for your time this afternoon, and enjoy the draft tonight.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, head coach Stan Van Gundy. Daniel, again, he went through the list there, obviously, of the coaches and the coaching staff that he had. I'm telling you, so many people loved Corey Brewer there, and the videos that they showed, it was one of the, what was that, Philly was one of the days that they had where he just got into James Harden's head when he was with the Sixers. But I love that sort of mentality that you're bringing in. You heard it from Coach there. It's experience, and it's also maybe certain type of players that come in, and it's part of the culture, right, that you want to build.
Yeah, talking about Beno Udre, who's a great guard in the NBA, working with those point guards. So you're getting specific about what you want to work with. Darnell Lazar, working with the big men. You have Corey Brewer working with the wings, and Corey Brewer just finished playing last year, so it's right. Not like he's been out of the league for 5 years. And so when you talk about, you know, Fred Vincent, how much he's done with the shooting of Lonzo Ball and
incredible.
Brandon Ingram. Incredible. And other guys over the years, it's not just those two. And Teresa Weatherspoon has done a great job in just her first year with the Pelicans. So, again, you really trust what Stan Van Gundy's doing and what David Griffin's doing and their staff. It's really exciting to see the development of these players and what they're going to look like come December 27th.
And I am interested. That's why I asked him. And, look, we're going to see it over a period of time, obviously, as to realistically what you can do, because you and I were talking about it yesterday on the phone in the car after the show. I'm like, look, AD is a perfect example of what we've seen, because we saw from draft night a skinny you know, athletic individual, but by no means what we see now, an MVP candidate, right, who can shoot threes, defend, block shots, has worked on his post game. That stuff over seasons, right, years, during the year, during the summer. I mean, and unfortunately getting out early in April, but, I mean, that's months of work. So I do like hearing Coach say, hey, right off the bat, though, no excuses. I want our team to be really good off the get-go. So if you take that analogy of starting running as fast as you can and then increasing it, you're setting the tone of, look, we're going to expect you at a certain level, and then we're going to improve from that level. And that level that we expect you at is already going to be better than where you were.
The accountability is the big thing that everyone talks about with Stan Van Gundy. He talked about it in his
It was no gradual
conference.
Approach there.
Well, if he was saying if a certain player says, I want to do this, he says, what are you doing to get to that point? And he's going to make sure that he writes that down, and he knows this was his goal. So how are you getting to those goals? And so I think that's the thing that really excites me, and you'll have that with the rookies as well. And it's going to be fun to watch here.
Yeah, it is. Look, and again, that's the reason I think someone like that was hired. Let's improve these young players, and then Haney's right. Let's see who's on the roster. We don't know who's going to be on this roster yet, so you got a lot of things to get into. Andrew Lopez will maybe start helping fill out some of those questions. We'll do that next with ESPN.com's Pelicans reporter on ESPN New Orleans.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Businesses have had to be flexible this year, from working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival. And if you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging. Thankfully, there's one place you can count on to make hiring easier: ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter's technology finds the right people for your job, invites them to apply. It's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny.
Hi, I'm Casey Gisclair.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins. And your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
You come on by over to NOLA Chill, 6045 Magazine Street. Walt will welcome you. Also, of course.
Got some swag, too, already.
Yeah, a little cap there. And Kelsey and Kayleen will take care of you here as well. I was asking Kelsey about all the different styles and types of aloe vera and cacti right when you walk in over to the left. It was really nice. Did you know all those different types?
Do you think I would know that?
Why? Well, I mean, you know, aloe vera is a good thing.
It
is. You get a burn or something. That's not what it's for, though, right? Right, Walt? That's not what it's for. I'm kidding.
Trust me, we'll be back here with a lot of things.
That is for
sure. A
lot
of questions.
Andrew Lopez, ESPN.com, covers your New Orleans Pelicans and joins us now to talk about a little of, a handful of storylines for the Pels. Andrew, going into NBA draft night. Sir, how are you today?
Busy. Maybe not as busy as as some other guys. Maybe not definitely not as busy as your previous guest, but it's going to be a fun day, man. It's going to be a fun day.
It is interesting, though, right, for Stan, for David Griffin, for this team, on how you approach this draft. I've spoken with as many analysts, people that cover college basketball, trying to get a grasp and a handle onto what to think of this draft. And I think, Daniel, I used it in the first segment as it's one of those targeted drafts in terms of, Andrew, if a team likes a player, they'll target him. It's not really, hey, these are the definitive 1 through 7, 1 through 5, 1 through 3 players. I think it's almost team-based. Am I kind of on the same ballpark there with you on that?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of positional stuff. I think that's going on here, guys looking for positional needs. I'm always a draft best player available kind of guy. I think you, in the NBA especially, you can kind of fit people where you need them a little bit, but certain teams need certain people, and I think because of the speed at which all of this is going to happen, you don't have a summer league to put these rookies into. You don't have a lot of time in training camp. You don't have a ton of preseason games. So more so now, I think you do need to get guys who fit more into what you need team-wise, just because you don't have as much time to prepare them and get them ready. So you need guys who are more ready to go for what you need right now.
Andrew, we talk about, you know, there's so much uncertainty with this draft, and it's not really as, I guess, top-heavy as you would call it from last year compared with Zion and Ja, number one and two, but people talk about how deep this draft is, even going up to the Pelicans pick at 13. Is that why we're seeing potentially so much movement of teams trying to acquire more picks to get into that top 10, top 13? What are you seeing as far as, you know, the type of movement that we're probably going to see tonight? It's only 12:35 Central Time.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think there are. Here's another thing. Normally, obviously, we're having these conversations in June. We are now 5 months after that. I do think that teams have kind of talked themselves into players more just because they've had longer time just to to sit around and overanalyze some things. So I do see it as kind of a, you know, where this team is going to like this guy. And again, it kind of goes back to the thing before. You're going to look for your guy who's going to fit your system as perfectly as it can because of the short time frame. You're going to want somebody who you can feel can plug and play and fit with your guys right away, even though we really don't know. I mean, free agency's coming up. Obviously, trades are happening. So we have a lot of things kind of going on where I think Gus messaged either right before the break coming in, or like we don't really know what these teams are going to look like in some instances. So still a lot of movement there. But I think you're going to see a lot of movement tonight. And even if some trades can't get announced tonight, I think we're going to see a lot of guys in some wrong hats again. That's my main prediction for tonight.
I like that. There you go. That's where I was going in next. Andrew Lopez covers the Pelicans for ESPN. You know, I couldn't per NBA rules talk to Coach Van Gundy about Jrue Holiday. That's going to come once it becomes official, obviously, per the NBA.
Can Daniel talk about Jrue Holiday? Is he allowed to do that?
He cannot. That's why you're on right now. So, but that's why I'm asking you about it, because right now we have on the board 13, 24, 39, 42, 60. Some may go there. Some may stay here. Let's just start with this aspect of it, because this is what I saw a lot on social media back on, well, I forgot the track of days, Tuesday night, and then yesterday's from reaction from Pels fan, Andrew. Is this about getting more picks or perhaps coming with more picks to be able to move up and try to, quote, target a player per se high in the draft? What do you think?
This is all about, I think, value and what you can get for certain players, especially in kind of in Drew's case, and then maybe we'll see what goes on. I don't think that is necessarily a finished product. I guess I can say it that way. I don't feel that that's a finished product just yet. I think there's some more things kind of going on. Could be with there's some moving pieces there for sure. But I do think it is about asset acquisition more than anything else, which allows you flexibility either now or down the road. From what you're doing, you can do a lot of different things now, and whether that's have the picks to go get somebody else later on, maybe it's to move up in any particular draft, you just have that ammunition that you didn't have before. And if it's to go get somebody in this draft, you can do that. If it's to go get somebody in three drafts, you can do that. I think at this point, so I think it's all about just giving yourself the flexibility to do what you need to be able to do.
Andrew, look, obviously, we were just talking about it. What is this roster going to sort of look like once practice starts here in 2 weeks? Do you think there's going to be more roster turnover before then, more trades than just a player or so? I know, again, going back to social media, a lot of Pels fans wonder, is Lonzo Ball your point guard? Do you try to get other veterans? Do you try to go younger? Other guys may be available, things of that nature. Do you think there's more things to be made, you think, by this team between now and, say, second week of December?
So the short answer is yes. I think there's going to be some other things. And obviously things happen. Things are going to happen very, very quickly. Obviously tonight is the draft. Negotiations can start for free agency on Friday. All this before you get to camp on December 1st, and then you're jumping right into preseason games and things. Right. I do think there's going to be some more moves. Like I said, there's a reason that other trade, the Drew trade, hasn't been announced yet. As Bobby Marks reported yesterday from ESPN, one of those picks is the 2027 Milwaukee pick. The NBA has a rule that allows you, you can only trade picks 7 years out. That would be 8 drafts away. So you have to do this after the draft. For one of those reasons, and there's other time for other things to happen. There may be some other different moves that still go down. This is still a very, very fluid situation, and I think we're seeing this around the league. Like what happens with James Harden? What happens with Russell Westbrook? Houston in general can really, I don't want to say screw it up, but Houston can really kind of muck up the waters a little bit, and then other teams are going to have to make moves because that's a lot of salary that's going to have to get traded. And then it's multiple players here. So I think you're going to see a lot of this, not just in New Orleans, but I think you're going to see a lot of roster turnover in the next 2 to 3 weeks for a lot of teams as people try to figure out moving pieces. On that same note, though, I think you're going to see some of the higher up teams try to keep as much continuity as possible because you aren't going to have the long ramp up into the season. So, I think it's going to be a little bit of both, but I think for more teams, you're going to see some roster turnover very, very quickly, especially because you're going to want those guys to have to go through the testing and be available for that first week of training camp.
Daniel Ferguson and Andrew can follow this up, but do y'all think that's why maybe teams say that are a player away or feel they're a championship contender now, maybe the ones that maybe do more of that and say like your team, like the Pels or other teams, you're like, hey, I can't make big splashy moves just yet because I don't, again, you don't have training camp. You don't have all of this. Let's just see what happens this season and then move forward. Do you think that would be a case with some of the different teams, Daniel?
Yeah. I mean, there's teams that are in that win now mode that feel like this is their opportunity. There are certain teams in the East that feel like this is our chance now to go out there and make that one or two veteran piece moves instead of worrying about the draft. There are teams like the Pelicans that know it's going to take a few years to get to that point. And so Andrew said, continuity is a big thing in developing the guys that you want for the future. And so it comes to even acquiring first-round picks. You look at Oklahoma City, who's starting that rebuild mode, trading Chris Paul, and all of a sudden they have a ton of first-round picks, and there are teams that are trading away first-round picks because they don't really care about them. So I think, yeah, it depends on the teams that are knowing that they're a few years away and the teams that are thinking, this is our shot, this is our window of a 1 or 2 years that we better try to get one ring or another ring.
And Andrew, it's almost like in the case of the Pelicans, we need to see who's good the system that Stan Van Gundy's going to run here, because the players that you have currently on the roster were something that for a different head coach. So you almost have to run this a little bit this season and just kind of see where you go from here on out.
Yeah. I don't think that the Pelicans are necessarily going to be competing for an NBA championship this season. This is still going to be a year of growth. This is still going to be a year of figuring out exactly how Zion Williamson and restricted free agent Brandon Ingram should work together going forward. And it's going to take time to figure out, Stan Van Gundy's system. It may take half the season for them to start to figure each other out. So it's going to be one of those things where that's where you kind of have to look at, okay, maybe we're going to be more in asset acquisition mode rather than let's get, one or two big players. Obviously, in the case of Milwaukee, trying to finalize the deal for Drew and for Bogdan Bogdanovich, they're trying to make a push to say, hey, Giannis, I need your signature on this 5-year Supermax right here. We're going to try to win a title now. Whereas the Pels are like, hey, our title window is probably down the road. We can do some different things. So different teams definitely have these different philosophies. And in New Orleans' case, it's going to be still trying to figure out how to get things done under Stan Van Gundy while improving on the defensive end and figuring out each other on the offensive end. And it's not necessarily, I think, going to lead to a title this year, but you're looking, down the road, and then you can start to make those kinds of moves. Maybe a year from now, maybe 2 years from now.
I was trying to think of how to ask you the final question here just because I don't know if you could know. So I'll just say this. If you come close and if you nail it, a beverage on me. I'll still give you a beverage, sir. But who do you think winds up wearing a Pelicans hat tonight?
That's a good question. And I don't even think I can give you a prediction.
Exactly.
Because there's just so much going on. With, you know, potentially more picks in the first round, you could end up moving up. You could end up waiting if some guys get picked ahead of you. It's just so hard. But I will say this. Because of the way your roster is set up, you have a lot of flexibility. Zion can play four or five, right? Brandon Ingram can play two, three, four if needed. Lonzo can play 1-2 off the ball. Bledsoe can be a one or a two. You have obviously Josh Hart can be 2-3. You have that flexibility now in the modern NBA that where I feel like you can take best player available at both 13 and 24. So to even venture out and say a possible, I'm not even going to get there. I know, you know, person I like, a guy like Sadiq Bey, maybe there, Aaron Nesmith, the kid from Vandy, both guys who can be on the wing and shoot it. But prediction wise, I got nothing. Because this team may end up jumping into the top 10. They may sit right there. I don't know what happens. So that's what these, I guess, next 6 hours are going to be, is trying to figure out what's going on.
I'm with you. That's why we have you on, to try to make it seem a little more like we know what's going on, even though we don't know what's going on. Did I do that right?
That's why we're throwing these. You should throw the mock drafts into the cryo chambers right. that we have here. Exactly, the mock drafts right. are completely useless right now.
Exactly right. Thank you, man. Oh, by the way, Andrew, before we let you go, I wanted to put the intern into the cryo chamber. It's -150 in there. What do you think?
Absolutely. I just want to let you know, Jordan, I hate you. Please go do whatever Gus tells you to do.
Oh, my God.
I already made him do a water run across Magazine Street.
I had to go dodge cars.
He had to play Frogger. He had to play Frogger. That's what he does. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Oh, I love Andrew Lopez. It's good stuff. Give him a follow on Twitter. You already do. You better. @_Andrew_Lopez. We're live in NOLA Chill, 6045 Magazine Street. Gus Kattengill, Daniel Salerson, and Jordan the intern here. We're live. Coming up next, a conversation with Antonio Daniels and what Sean Payton said this morning about a bagel. Next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's fall savings time at Barker Kia, which means we're serving up some delicious deals on some of the hottest models around. You can drive home in a new 2020 Kia Sportage LX and take $5,000 off the MSRP. Or get into a new 2020 Kia Soul LX with Apple CarPlay and pay just $69.99. Or how about a new 2020 Kia Forte LXS for only $69.95. Please come check out the all-new Kia K5, Seltos, and the hottest SUV on the market, Telluride. And don't forget the Stinger. Kia models with award-winning styles and tech. Plus, they all come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And all for the prices that will have our competition asking for the recipe. So come see big during the fall savings time sales event at Barker Kia and Homer, or shop online at BarkerKia.com. Come see me, people. Remember, that's strength and laughter.
Warranty is limited. Powertrain warranty. See Kia.com. Retailer for details. Tire number 20KT, 241. MSRP, 25640. 2225, deal with discount. 2750, Kia comes with cash. Tire number 20KT, 099. MSRP, 20, 885, deal with discount. 2500, Kia comes cash. Tire number 20KT, 036. MSRP, 2685. 1940, deal with discount. 1750, Kia comes cash.
NOLA Chill, New Orleans' state-of-the-art cryotherapy and wellness center, is now open. Cryotherapy is leading the nation's industry in recovery, wellness, and weight loss. NOLA Chill is your solution for targeting arthritis, tightening skin, and fighting off wrinkles, and it's a great tool for recovery for athletes and active people pre- or post-competition. Plus, a simple 3-minute cryotherapy session at NOLA Chill targets inflammation and burns between 500 to 800 calories. Find out more cryotherapy benefits and schedule your appointment at NOLAChill.com. NOLA Chill, cryo and chill.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Can we talk
sports? Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. It is our number one. It's brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you have been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. Feel free at ESPN Radio NOLA Tweet us who you think the Pels will wind up with or you would like to get. Lots of people. I know, Daniel, we were talking a little bit earlier, Okonwu. We like him. That's nice. And then you said people that did maybe woke up this morning with news that maybe they don't like.
Yeah, apparently he has a foot injury, and they're not really knowing the severity. And there's going to be a balance of what they're going to share and what, you know, to be truthful. But also, I mean, it goes on because you don't want his draft stock for his sake to go down. But, you know, people are talking about him being a top five player. Is he the one guy? You know, there's always one guy in NFL and NBA draft.
Apparently the Celtics like him, yeah. You know, a couple of other teams sort of like him. Let me ask you this question. Do you think the Warriors stay at two?
No, I don't. But they have so much flexibility because of what their roster is like. It's not like they had a bad year because of injuries.
Exactly.
Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, yeah, Draymond Green was the only one. They had a lot of young pieces that played pretty well, even though they were a team that struggled. So I think they had the leverage if they want to acquire that final veteran piece. Or if they really like someone or two, they might, but they also might like someone farther back and they can acquire some more assets.
I want to ask you this. Where do you think, how do I ask this? Think about this. We're going to talk about the top of the hour because I want to get Antonio Daniels in, but is the West, do you need shooting? Do you need size? Do you need a combination of both? Where can you sort of look at it in some of the teams? So think about that and what we saw in the bubble, because the last thing you see kind of stands out in your head, right? So the thing that stood out to me, I saw teams make a run to try to beat the Lakers that used pick and rolls, had a big that can shoot, that can, you know, not necessarily be in the paint. But if you had that, that helped. Defense, shot blocker also helped. But you have got to have a point guard that can score. Right. Like, you've got to have some scoring on the outside, one way, shape, or form. Even the Lakers, they won their games because one or two guys had that one game that knocked down a big three or two for you.
Well, this depends on the offense that the team is running because, you know, in last year in an Alvin Gentry type offense, a team that's running so fast, you know, facilitating point guard might be the better option for you, someone that could run and able to see the floor. But in some offenses where you're not running as fast, obviously having a point guard that can score first is something that you want. So, I mean, that's the difference in what Stan Van Gundy is going to want and need depending on what his system is like. And also look at the defensive side because Stan Van Gundy's teams have been in top 10 defensive team for most of his career. So, you know, obviously for the Pelicans, getting a 3-and-D type wing can certainly be something they use. Shooters that surround some of those bigs to space the floor with Zion down there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of options that the Pelicans can have, and, you know, they could go the best available route just because there's a lot of flexibility on the roster that they are not pinned down to, we have to draft this position or we're not fulfilling a need. A lot of these teams in the lottery are in the lottery because they need more than one need, and not horrible to say, but you know that's the realistic part of it, is that these teams need more of a best available than a position type. It's the teams that are one player away or two players away up at the top that can move down with the luxury of, I want someone at this position.
We're going to get to Antonio Daniels at the top of the hour since it's 7 minutes and we only have about five to break. So this gives us a perfect time, though, to transition quickly over to the team across the parking lot from you there, sir, the New Orleans Saints. Head coach Sean Payton did speak this morning. He was asked about quarterback Drew Brees.
Sean, can you share any updates on your plans at quarterback position this week?
No updates, Mike. I'm eating my bagel. I was hoping to be chewing it when you asked that question.
For a long, suspenseful delay? Or
just chewing the bagel.
No update on Drew's injury status either, specifically?
Nope. Nothing specific, yeah. Nothing there.
What kind of bagel is it? Everything bagel, or is it like sesame seed?
It's a poppy seed steamed bagel, which are hard to find, actually.
There you go.
Cream cheese.
Brett Martell wanted to know what kind of bagel it was.
I knew that's a Brett Martell question.
That's a Brett Martell question there. Mike Triplett drawing the short straw, trying to ask the question that you have to ask. And Sean Payton doing what he needs to do. I mean, he's the head coach. Look, some fans are probably sitting there going, I'd like to know. I understand, and he said it on Monday, that it doesn't behoove them to do them any benefits to let anybody know. The Atlanta Falcons are preparing for Jameis Winston. I mean, they're preparing for it. But coaches are going to coach and do what they need to do, and we'll wait for the injury report to come out around 4 o'clock today is when it normally comes out. It'll say Breeze, and it'll say ribs, and it'll say didn't practice. I mean, that's what it's going to say. So you're not going to get any info. Again, we went at the beginning of the hour. We talked about it. The reports this morning is no new news. Ian Rappaport said no new news. No, he went and got a second opinion, or he sent the scans to other doctors to get second opinions, and there were no new news because there was slight concern, Daniel, that he may have more than five ribs cracked, other than the right collapsed lung as well. So the good news is no new news, but it still means he's going to miss a couple of weeks, and I think we kind of get that.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're talking about the Falcons preparing, you know they're going to prepare for both quarterbacks anyways, because they've seen Taysom Hill before. They've seen Jameis Winston before when he was in Tampa Bay. I'm not sure even if Raheem Morris and him overlapped at the time that he was in Tampa Bay or not. I have to go back and think about that. But, you know, even whatever Sean says, obviously they don't want to give him ahead of time that, okay, we can focus on this quarterback.
Right.
So you understand it. But it is certainly, you know that most likely he's not going to play this week.
I brought this up yesterday that I actually understand why you hear or heard players Sunday be comfortable with Jameis. I love what Alvin Kamara said. He practices just like us. He's in the huddle. He calls plays and we run it. This team has transitioned before our very eyes, whether we want to admit it or not. This is not 09. This is not 11. This is not a team that is dependent on the deep pass game and literally, honestly, the passing game. The passing game now is actually almost an extension of the run game. It's a short passing game. It's a clock management almost style of offense. And that's where we are. I mean, that's what Drew Brees is right now. It's 20, 15, 10 feet in. Take what the defense gives you. Give it to your playmakers. And so I think it's built for, say, Jameis, just do what they've done, actually, literally, right? I mean, and if anything, a point that I made, Daniel, is you might be able to almost extend the playbook a bit. He has an arm. He has mobility. I can use rollouts. I can use misdirection. I can take a shot deep down the field because he can get the ball down the field. He's got a little bit more zip. There's some things that maybe I can do that I hadn't been able to do right now. So I'm actually kind of interested and excited to see where the Saints offense can go because I think he can run what's been being run.
I think the biggest thing, the advantage for Jameis this week is he's going to have a full week of preparation.
Correct.
You know, when he's facing, last week, I'm drawing a blank of who they played, San Francisco, that, you know, you're coming into a game, it's obviously a different mindset when you have to fill in for someone instead of knowing that, okay, I'm going to play. So how much he's used compared to Taysom, you know that Jameis Winston is going to play a major role in that game against Atlanta on Sunday. So I think for him, that's the benefit of you're going to have all week to work on these schemes, all those things that you talked about, the misdirections and his mobility. So they do have a whole week to come up with a game plan instead of on the fly, okay, now we have to adjust to Jameis halfway into the game.
Yeah, exactly right. Here's head coach Sean Payton, how he wants Jameis Winston to run the offense.
So when Jameis Winston is in at quarterback for you guys, it kind of reminds me of the questions we were asking about Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. If when Jameis plays for you, do you want him to run the offense a certain way like you guys always have, high efficiency decisions, less turnover risk, or he could run?
We want all of that.
Make different decisions.
We want all of that. So when I answer this question, and then the response is, if Jameis is starting on Sunday, we want efficient play from that position.
There's Sean. I think it sounded like he had a little bit of the bagel in his mouth there, too.
I think I would go with an everything bagel, so I'm questioning his bagel choice.
I do like everything bagel. What bagel would you choose next? No, I'm kidding. Hour two of the Sports Hangover returns live at NOLA Chill when we come back on ESPN New Orleans. Hey everyone, Gus Kattengill with the Sports Hangover, excited to tell you about Men's Total Health. You'll be greeted by Andrea, and once you've checked in on the mini iPads, you'll